Good morning, welcome to TFPC Torrance, man. I hope you got, when you sing that song, do you feel the same way, that I'm forever changed by the majesty of God? I hope that when you experience the awe of God, that you feel changed by his love. Our title today is An Appeal to Love. Our scripture is Philemon, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9a. Philemon 1, 8 through 9a, title Appeal to Love. As always, I'm going to put the scripture on the screen. Can we all rise for the reading? Since it's only a verse and a half, let's read this all together. This is Philemon 8, 9 through A. This is the word of the Lord. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. You know, I don't know if you guys, I think I've shared it a couple times, but still, I don't know if you know, but I became a Christian when I was 7 years old. 7 years old. I don't remember much. I remember being at a retreat. The pastor spoke on hell, and I was like, I don't want to go to hell. So I became a Christian. And the next day, there was like a lake there or a river. I just remember there was water. And I remember everyone who accepted Christ became a Christian. We all baptized, and so we were baptized the next day. And that's how I became a Christian. I remember I worked at my family's store. I would share the gospel to the customers that came on by, little kid sharing the gospel. But then something happened. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian household. I was, you know, a, quote, good kid. I went to Christian, you know, had a club at high school and everything. But freshman year in college, fell away. Freshman year in college fell away. I didn't go to church, didn't read my Bible, didn't pray or nothing. My mom would call me, and she'd say, hey, go to church. And every time she called me, I would go to church. And so, hey, parents, you will always be the biggest influence over your kids. Just remember that. So I would go to church when my mom called, but when she didn't call, I didn't go to church. And then my mom told me, hey, your sister, I saw her sing a cappella at a Christian a cappella group in college. I want you to attend a Christian a cappella group. And so, because I love my mom, I attended the Christian a cappella group. I remember being very honest, going, you know what, I'm kind of falling away from God right now. I don't know if I'm even a Christian, but my mom told me to join the group. And the leader was like, okay, you're part of the group. It was basically a Bible study that sang. By my junior year singing there, there's a guy by the name of Johnny Choi. He invested in me. He was a tenor. And eventually, through him in that group, I rededicated myself to Jesus Christ. And I remember, like, you know, okay, I'm rededicated. What do I do? And my mentor at the time was like, you have to read the Word. You got to read the Bible. You're going to be a disciple of Jesus. You got to follow Jesus. You have to know who Jesus is. That means you got to read the Bible. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the Word. So it makes sense, right? If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to know the Word of God. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you have to be reading the Bible. Now, I could go on a tangent. Some of you guys are not disciples of Jesus. Some of you guys are disciples of this church, or you're disciples of your parents. Some of you guys are probably disciples of me. Probably not. I've only been here a couple of years. But to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to read the Word. And so, you know, I want to encourage you guys to read the Word. My challenge as a new rededicated Christian was that I hated reading so much. I was not a big reader. For you who are young, you don't know this. There's these things called books. Paper with like words printed on them, you and your digital stuff right now, but still, there's books. The Bible is thick, it's big, it's full of pages. Me, I did not like to read. And so when somebody said to read the Bible, I wanted to be a good Christian, but I looked at the Bible, I'm like, this is intimidating. Luckily, it's divided into 66 books. 66 books. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to read the shortest books first. That's what I did. I was going to read the shortest books. If you're a new Christian, I would not recommend that. If you're a new Christian, I would recommend the Gospel of John, actually. That's a great book. But me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read the shortest books first. I think I've said this too before, but trivia question. How many one-chapter books of the Bible are there? You guys know? You guys know? Come on. There are five. Five one-chapter books of the Bible. There's one in the Old Testament, Obadiah, and there's the rest in the New Testament, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Philemon. I read Philemon so many times. It's a little over 300 words, one chapter long. I read it so many times. This is near and dear to my heart. And so today, I want to look at Philemon. I want to talk about Philemon. What do we know about Philemon? Well, this was written by Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, good old Apostle Paul, to Philemon. Who in the world is Philemon? Let me tell you first something. This is Philemon, not Philemon. For you Pokemon people and you Digimon people, it's not another Pokemon. This is not, hey, Philemon. No, it's Philemon. Philemon. Written by Apostle Paul to Philemon. Who is Philemon? It says in the first couple verses, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, a brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Who was Philemon? He's a good friend of Apostle Paul. Note that word, friend. He's also a co-worker. There's this fellow worker. That's someone who's a Christian. And we know that he's wealthy because he's opening up his house. He's opening up his house to a church. We'll get to why Apphia is called sister. But Archippus is a fellow soldier. He's probably the pastor of the church. He's probably the leader of that church. So here we have this rich Christian opening up his church, his home to a church, friend of Paul. And why and where is Apostle Paul at this time? He's a prisoner. He's in jail. Later in verse 13, it will say that he's in chains for the gospel. So Apostle Paul's in jail. He's writing a letter to Philemon. What's the occasion? Why write a letter to Philemon? Well, he's writing on behalf of Onesimus. Onesimus. Verse 10 through 11. That I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful for both to you and to me. He's writing on behalf of Onesimus. Please note, it's Onesimus. It's not Onesimus. He's not wearing like a onesie. It's Onesimus. And he's not a relation son like blood. He's a son while I was in chains. He became a son, meaning that Paul preached to him and shared the gospel with him, and he became a Christian through Apostle Paul. We're going to talk about why he mentioned son there. But still, this is Onesimus. He had this relationship with Philemon, and Apostle Paul's writing a letter on his behalf. What was the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon? What was the relationship? It was one of slave and master. It was one of slave and master. Verses 15 through 16, perhaps the reason he was separate from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. I want you to think about this for a second. If you are a slave and you're not with your master, as Onesimus is, what happened? Most likely you ran away. Most likely you said, you know what, I don't want to be a slave any longer, I'm going to leave. And so Onesimus is a former slave that has left Philemon. And so Paul's writing a letter on his behalf. Paul is writing a letter for this dear brother, Onesimus, that he brought to Christ. He's writing this letter on behalf of Onesimus to Philemon. Do we all understand the timeline? Yes, we all understand the timeline. Sometime in the past, we had Onesimus as slave as Philemon. Onesimus runs away. Sometime later, Philemon meets Apostle Paul, and through this relationship, Philemon becomes a Christian. After some time, Apostle Paul leaves, does his missionary work. He later finds himself in jail, and while in jail, he runs into someone named Onesimus. And through this relationship, Onesimus becomes a Christian. And you can kind of imagine that conversation, right? You could kind of imagine the conversation. It'd be like, hey, Apostle Paul, how you doing? Oh, Onesimus, how you doing? Hey, Onesimus, where have you been? Where do you come from? And Onesimus would have been like, oh, yeah, I came from this region over here. And Apostle Paul wouldn't be like, really? I've traveled all over this region. I know that region. There's a great man in a lovely house named Philemon. Do you know Philemon? And Onesimus would have been like, yeah, I know that guy. Great guy, huh? Yeah, he was my master. I was his slave. I ran away from him. That guy's not a nice guy. And Apostle Paul would have been like, you know what? Maybe in the past, but guess what? He's a Christian now. As you became a Christian, he became a Christian. He's now your brother, and he is your brother. And Onesimus would be like, what? Really? Brother, you sure? He's like, yeah, brother. You guys are not brothers in Christ. It's like, we don't know why Onesimus wanted to go back. Maybe he grew up in that area. Maybe he had friends. But then something probably clicked. It's like, really, if he's my brother, does that mean I can go back? Could I go back there and not be a slave, but can I just go back and have a relationship like everybody else? Is that possible? If he really is my brother in Christ, Apostle Paul, can you write me a letter on my behalf? Can you write a letter on behalf of me to Philemon? I want to go back there, but you know, I think he's going to treat me like a slave, and I don't want that. Can you write a letter? And that's what Paul does. Paul writes a letter. And in this letter, the theme is all about Christian relationships. It's all about Christian relationships. That might disappoint some of you. That might disappoint some of you. Talk about slave and masters and all. You may think that, like, I mean, this letter, this should be Paul's, rebuking of the institution, right? He talks about the institution of slavery, right? Nope. When you read Philemon, you won't read about the objection of slavery. You won't read about Paul directly saying, hey, this is wrong. You won't see him rebuke. You won't try. You won't see him be an activist. You don't see him persuade Philemon at all on the institution. And in the history of Christianity in America, some have used Paul's silence on the issue as advocacy of slavery, as validation for the institution. That is not true. While Apostle Paul does not directly speak on the issue of slavery, his theology that's presented in the book speaks against it. The theology that he presents to Philemon, he doesn't speak directly on it. He's talking about relationships. He's not talking about slavery, but he does speak against it through the theology. And that's what we want to learn here. You have to understand, Apostle Paul, usually when he's speaking to churches, when he's writing to churches, it's from the authority of God given to him. He's speaking on behalf of God to the people. And so he usually speaks strongly against issues. He's usually very black and white. But this is not the occasion. This is Apostle Paul speaking on behalf of some other Christian to another Christian. This is unique. This is not, I'm going to speak on behalf of God to you. This is, I'm going to speak on behalf of this Christian to this Christian. And so you get a different aspect of Apostle Paul. And so I want to look at just a couple things. A couple things from his letter that we learn from his theology, and basically, what is he trying to teach us about Christian relationships? So, the first thing, we note that all throughout the book, you'll see familiar terms used, family terms used. Verse 2, also to Apphia, a sister. That's not his blood sister. That's a brother and sister in Christ. He calls Philemon a brother twice in the book. Your love, Philemon, I'm Apostle Paul talking to you. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the Lord's people. He mentions this again, verse 20. I do wish, brother, again, Apostle Paul to Philemon, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. When Apostle Paul speaks of Onesimus, he first calls him son, that I may appeal to you for my son Onesimus. This is verse 10, who became my son while I was in chains. Later on, he calls him a brother. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and brother in the Lord. Please know, Paul is doing this purposefully. Son, sister, brother, he's doing this purposefully. He's trying to change the view of what Philemon thinks about people, especially someone like Onesimus. He's trying to teach him, you know what, when you become a Christian, when you're in Christ, you now become family. You become family together. Think about that relationship before. The slave and master relationship. Yes, you know, in the Roman era, slavery was very different than the South in terms of, you know, in our American history. It was different. There were some humanitarian things that were being done. There was some laws against abuse, some laws against homicide. But don't get it twisted. Slavery in the Roman Empire was awful. You were not a person. You were property. You were possession. It's recorded in Delos, the city of Delos. Every single day, 10,000 slaves were auctioned. Every single day, at the height of the Roman Empire, 400,000 slaves in the empire, they were treated as possessions, as property. That was not someone, that was something. That was an it. That was like, I want a dog, I want a cattle, I want a slave. And so if you're Philemon, you hear the word Onesimus for the first time, you'll be like, what, that thing? That's just my dog that ran away. You would not have thought that person, that thing as a person. And so Paul is purposely saying, you know what, hey, brother, he's dear to me. You know who I am? Brother. He's trying to change the perspective of Philemon. What does it mean to be in Christ? When you're in Christ, you're different. Just a couple years earlier, he wrote to Rome. Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Rome. He says in Rome 8:1, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We all might have messed up in the past. We might have made some terrible mistakes. But now that you are in Christ, there's no more condemnation. Onesimus might have been a slave. He might have ran away. He might have disobeyed. But now that he's a Christian and you're a Christian, we're both in Christ, there is no condemnation. He also says in chapter 12, verse 5 of Romans, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Maybe beforehand, he belonged to you by the letter of the law of the Roman Empire. Maybe he belonged to you. But now that we're both in Christ, we belong to each other. Paul later says that we are slaves to Christ when we are in Christ. A couple years before this, he wrote to the Galatian church, Apostle Paul did, and he said this, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all are one in Christ. Apostle Paul is trying to change the perspective of Philemon. This is not a thing. This is someone. This is not just somebody. This is now a family member. And think about this. Have you ever had a broken relationship? You ever had a broken relationship, even for a little bit? You fought with your siblings. You fought with your spouse. You fought with a friend. And usually we start labeling people, like, and we treat them. We have these little things where we kind of treat them like property or a dog or possession. Oh, that, whatever. And you give them a title instead of using their name. But what about if that's your family? If your baby pees on you, do you hold a grudge for the rest of their lives? Don't you forgive? Don't you forgive? Paul's saying, I need you to look at this person as family. I'm going to use the word brother and son and sister through this letter to remind you that we are family. Don't you serve and sacrifice and show compassion to and are forgiving of family? Paul is indirectly preaching, hey, when you're a Christian, when you're in Christ, you are my brother and sister. You are family. That's the one thing we take out of this letter. The second thing, which I find very interesting, is how he addresses. How does Apostle Paul address Philemon? He addresses Philemon in a very gentle way. In a very gentle way. Philemon 8:10. Therefore, although in Christ, this is Apostle Paul speaking to Philemon, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Note the humility. I'm an old man. He's appealing gently. I appeal to you to do what you ought to do. Just earlier, he talks about the character of Philemon, just how what a great Christian character he has. Verses 4 through 7, this is Apostle Paul speaking to Philemon. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Man, such compliments, such high regard. It's like, Philemon, man, I've seen you. You've done great things. You've shown so much love. You would think that if you're Apostle Paul, that you would come down a little bit harder. Wouldn't you think that? Why doesn't he use his spiritual authority? For the church of Colossae, you know what he said for the church of Colossae? He's made it very clear for them. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Very clear, very direct. You'd think he would do that with Philemon. He should have been like, hey, this is Apostle Paul, Mr. OG missionary to the Gentiles. I was spoken to by Jesus himself. I'm going to give you this instruction. Forgive Onesimus. Do it now. Reconcile. You would think if you're Apostle Paul, you would exert that kind of authority. But what does Apostle Paul do? He speaks gently. He appeals on the basis of love. He's like, you know what? Man, Philemon, I've seen you do great things. I've seen you show that love there. It gave me great joy. I saw you do that good work there. Man, that gave me such joy. I know that's your character. I've seen it done there. Can you do it here in this context? Man, Philemon, I was so encouraged by you. I know you've done great things. Can you do that with Onesimus? Can you do that in this context? You know, it's strange sometimes. Sometimes we can, you know, care so much about people we don't know. Sometimes we can care so much about strangers. Some of us can invest hundreds and thousands of dollars and spend time and energy on people that we don't even know, and yet there's someone maybe in our sphere of influence, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker, that for some reason, maybe it's pride, hurt feelings, past history, we can't do that same love to these strangers for this one person. We hold this grudge. We have these hurt feelings, and we're like, I can't do that. Apostle Paul indirectly in this letter is telling us, Can you be consistent? I know you have it in you. I've seen you. Can you do what you know you ought to do? You know you ought to do this. Can you do it? You know the principles? I've seen you do it over there. Can you do it here? You see, Paul's power is not in his title. It's not in his experience. It's not in his age. He doesn't exert who he is in terms of authority. No, he's trusting in the Spirit of God. He's trusting in the faith that the Spirit of God would move in the heart of Philemon. And he trusts that Philemon will respond in time to the word, that he will respond in obedience. Paul doesn't coerce or force. He trusts in the preaching, that he trusts that that will lead him to do what he ought to do. Now, we don't know what happened after this letter. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened between Onesimus and Philemon. We can assume that because it's in the Bible that, you know, Philemon did do what was right. But the lessons that we take from this, the lessons that I want us to dwell upon, it's about Christian relationships. It's about, what do I do with a broken Christian relationship? What does it really mean to forgive and to reconcile? Well, it starts with how we view that person. If a slave and master can reconcile and become brothers, what's your excuse? Maybe that person didn't treat you well. Maybe they made a mistake. And maybe we have a label over them and we make these assumptions. But Apostle Paul, speaking to Philemon, he's speaking to us too. That person's not your enemy. That person is your brother. That person is your sister. That person is a family member. The second thing Philemon teaches us is that word that I used last week. It's about consistency. I'm sure every single one of you have had moments of generosity. I'm sure every single one of you had moments of mercy and compassion. I'm sure you've done love somewhere, someplace in your time where you've done great thing for someone else. Can you do it for that person that you have a broken relationship with? Can you be consistent? Whatever good thing you're doing there, can you do it here? Because Philemon teaches us that forgiveness, reconciliation, it depends on how we view and it depends on how we treat one another. The appeal to do what you know you ought to do. You know you ought to do it. So at this time, I want to ask the praise team to come. And I want us to bow our heads in prayer. And I want you to think, are you in any way Philemon? Are you in any way Philemon? Is there someone that you have labeled and looked down upon that you need to see differently? Is there someone in your life where you got to remind yourself, man, that's my brother, that's my sister in Christ? Is there someone that you know that you got to do what you ought to do? And that's to forgive. So let's spend some time in reflection. Are you in Philemon? Are you Philemon in any way? And can you pray that your heart would be changed to do what you ought to do? Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you. And at this time, are you Onesimus in any way? Is there someone that you have to forgive? Someone that maybe hurt you deeply? But you hear the call of the Spirit to be family. You hear that call to show love, and that takes forgiveness. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Let's spend some time in reflection, and let's think of a name. Let's think of a relationship, and let's pray that we could have the power to forgive. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. Last prayer topic, can we lift up our community? Can we pray for our community? If you're near a loved one, put a hand on their hand and lift them up in prayer. It takes a community to help us to forgive. It takes community to help us to be humble, to show and do the things we ought to do. So let's pray for blessing and encouragement and accountability with our community. Let's lift up our loved ones and our family. And after a couple minutes, I'll close us. But let's lift up our community. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you forgave us, that you met us where we were, and that you saved us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for viewing us as family. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you knew you had to do, that by taking that first step. And so I pray, Lord, that we would follow in your example. As you reconciled us to you, that we would be reconciled to each other. As you viewed us as your children, that we would view each other as brothers and sisters. Oh, Lord, help us to do what we know we ought to do as your disciples. Help us to follow you as your people. So I pray, Lord, for your encouragement this week. I pray, Lord, for your protection and blessing. Give us the wisdom and discernment to know when and how and what to say and what to do and what not to do and what not to say. Oh, Lord, give us that power this week. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder through Philemon, through Apostle Paul and Onesimus. Help us to glorify you because you've been so good to us. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray.